Reverend Carol Baker welcoming you to this special service of worship of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. If you are a visitor today, we welcome you and hope that you will join us whenever you choose. Pastor Glenn, will you please call us to worship?
Shouts of Hosanna rang out on Palm Sunday upon Jesus' approach to Jerusalem, as the people thought they were welcoming an earthly king. Cries of disbelief and amazement were voiced as the disciples grasped that Jesus had risen from the dead on Easter. Fear turned to joy, loss to victory, and weakness to power. Today, let us shout hallelujah where we stand, because he arose in the love and power of the Holy Spirit. It is in that spirit that we now call ourselves to worship. Hallelujah, for our Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for he alone is worthy of our praise. He lived among us to show us the way. He died that we might live and enjoy living abundantly. He taught us many things and still works in us to this day. One of the most important lessons he taught us was to pray these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
By way of announcements, just a few things. We certainly are still not able to be together in worship except by this medium, and I'm so pleased to see so many smiling faces this morning. It's so good to see you all. We will be conducting our meetings, all of our church meetings and our worship, through this particular medium, so please pay attention to your emails with their various invitations to those meetings. The church office does remain open on Tuesdays and Thursdays for most of the time, and there still are masks there to be picked up if any of you feel a need for that. That's about it.
Can I say something?
Yes, please do, Jay.
Yeah, so I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to be making a video with some music for the Sunday school. And what I'm gonna do is try to put a couple of songs on there and talk to the kids a little bit. I didn't wanna step on anybody's toes doing this, but I was asked by somebody on the CE committee to maybe do something. And I think it'll be nice for the kids to see a face, and it's not just church stuff. You know, we can sing some church songs and some kids songs, but also have a little greeting and talk to them a little bit. So I'm going to try to do that video and post it on the on our Facebook page. So if you have any kids, any grandkids, if you want to watch it yourself and enjoy it, by all means, please share it. But it's I'm going to try to post it maybe by the middle of the week, by Wednesday or Thursday, on our Facebook page. So be looking for that, okay?
Very good. Anyone else have an announcement they would like to make? Yeah, Glenn, go ahead, unmute yourself.
Hi, I probably also have a video by the middle of the week or Thursday, Friday, something like that, with a children's message and maybe something else that's a little more fun. So look for that as well.
Thanks. Any other announcements I may have missed? Okay.
Dave, do you have anything you want to say about your son?
Thank you. Nope. Yes, yeah, sorry. Yes, so we have a piece of music coming up. It is actually right out of our hymnal. It's number 79 in the hymnal. I know you don't have hymnals there, but...
better not.
It's Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. And before we do this, I just like to say I'm still making some of the music. We are getting to the point where finally we're having other choir members participate. You're going to hear a little bit of that today in the final amen after the benediction. And hopefully we're going to be having more choir members participate in music, in singing, and also hopefully see them. We've got an app where we can all sing together on. Now we're trying to work on how do we can get you to see us do it. So it's a little bit of a process. It's we're testing the waters and trying it out, and it's we got to send it to each other, and so it gets a little involved, and then it has to get mixed. So it's a bit of a process just to put out a 2-minute song, but we're trying so everybody can hear us and see us as a choir once again. So I'm working on that, and hopefully that's going to happen soon. And I think we still have many weeks here that we're going to be doing this, so we have many weeks to be working on it and getting it better and better, like all the other music is getting better, I think. So so with that, here is Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
Holy God, we praise your name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth, thy scepter claim. All in heaven above, domain everlasting is thy
received a message from Rich Goss. He says this, "Hi all, please remember that each Sunday is recorded and put on Facebook, so please remember to use your first name and last initial as your screen name if you value your privacy." Okay, thank you very much. By way of celebrations, I'd like to give thanks to Martha McCatton and Kathy Wade and Michelle Martino for sewing some beautiful masks to help us get through the restrictions of this pandemic. As I mentioned, the office is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but please call whenever you want to come to the office before you come, just in case there is no one there, because things are changing, obviously, day by day. Are there any other celebrations that any of you would like to mention? Hearing none, then let us go on to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others who are in need of prayers, including these people, Carol and Lee, Cher, Chad, Roberta, who had surgery on Friday and remains in the hospital for a few more days. For Nikolai, Tyler, Jen, Doris, and Carol. Ed, of Ed and Janet, had a fall and is now at Life Care Center, I believe. He was scheduled to be moved in there on Friday, and I have yet to catch up with him there. But Ed and Janet, Wade, Steve, Lee, the Bashan family on the death of Kellyanne's grandmother, who was passed away last evening, and she was 100 years old, so she had a good long life. We pray for Brigitte, Marie, Shirley, and Matt Trowbridge. I know he's listening on audio right now. He asked for prayers for his team over at his assisted living, where they have indeed found the virus now. And so he tells me that he has moved in and is living there for the time being. And he asked us to pray for him and for his whole team. We also pray for those in the nursing homes and assisted living, including Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We pray for people who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders, all who work in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working so hard to protect us. And all, as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this very difficult situation together. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Oh God, we offer this morning our thanks for our church. You call us to live out our faith in community. So we are thankful that we can be together this morning, even though we may be in different places. We thank you for calling us to be a worshiping church, willing and able to voice praise, express concerns, and hear each other's needs, a changing church open to the movement of your Holy Spirit, the gifts of both tradition and innovation, the presence of new faces, and the welcome to others to join our membership. Babies brought to us to be baptized. Help us to be a praying church responsive to the needs of others. We pray for your healing presence to be with all of those whom we have mentioned today and all of those whom we lift up into your presence now. We'll have a moment of silence as you might want to speak those names out in God's presence. Gracious God, keep us aware of the call to practice faith through action, to bear witness to your love and justice and compassion through spoken truth and caring deeds. We ask all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God will take care of
Scripture lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. It continues the story of Easter. Jesus has risen from the grave, as you well know, and the tomb. And later that Sunday evening is when the story begins. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Our next song that we're going to listen to, and we raise up in the glory of God, is right from our hymnal again. and it's a familiar one. You can sing along if you know the words. We should start printing the words out so we can see this, and you could sing at home. This is number 92 in the hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Neighborhood and the crime rate was legendary. A middle-aged woman was standing at a bus stop and a young policeman, obviously a rookie, walked up to the woman and asked politely, "Would you like me to wait with you, ma'am?" And the woman replied, "No, thanks, I'm going to be fine." And the rookie cop gulped and said, "Well, then, would you mind waiting with me?" In the midst of this pandemic, we are all having to face our fears, and they are many. Fear of contracting the virus, fear of our loved ones, fear of losing wages and running out of money, fear of the possibility of our food chain being disrupted, fear of isolation. Even in the best of time, we all have our fears. A difficult relationship, health, aging, retirement, losing a job, the safety of our children. Our fears are too many and too numerous to mention. As humorist Dave Barry once put it, all of us are born with a set of instinctive fears of falling, of the dark, of lobsters, of falling on lobsters in the dark. There's no doubt we are living in a fearful time. During the 1933 inaugural address, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to calm a troubled America in the throes of the Depression by saying this: "There is nothing to fear but fear itself." I wonder what Roosevelt would say today to us. Certainly the disciples of Jesus knew about fear. It was Easter Sunday, and there they were, cowering behind locked doors. And we have to wonder why. The writer of the Gospel says it was out of fear of the Jewish authorities. But there's nothing in the record to indicate that after Jesus' crucifixion, the Jewish authorities had any intention of doing any harm to the followers. Maybe they told themselves that it was the Jewish authorities they feared, but was it really? Even when they were persecuted, even when they, those authorities, persecuted Jesus, the Jewish religious leaders acted through the governing authorities, the Romans. Maybe it was the Romans they really feared. That's sort of doubtful as well. The Roman authorities gave every indication that they could have cared less about these disciples. Pontius Pilate seemed reluctant to prosecute Jesus. Why go after his motley band of followers? So why were they hiding behind locked doors? One author suggests that it was Jesus himself that the disciples feared. Think of it. Just hours before his death, he writes, they had all professed that they would never leave him, even be willing to be killed along with him. If Jesus were alive now, what would he say to them? What would he do to them? Would he say, so you were going to stand by me and fight for me, huh? Where were you, James and John? You always wanted to be on my right hand and my other on the left. Where were you when I was being beaten and crucified? He could have told Peter, I heard your denials and I heard the rooster crow. They might have thought that Jesus was going to find them and take out his anger on them, just like he chased the money changers out of the temple. So they hid behind locked doors, perhaps not out of fear of the Jews or the Romans, but out of fear of Jesus. Maybe that was it. Certainly it would not be the first time that the disciples were afraid of their Lord. Something about him that was as intimidating as it was endearing. No one could do things that he had done without having his friends be in awe. After all, he had walked on water and calmed a ferocious storm. He had healed a number of people and even brought Lazarus back from death. And now, to crown it all off, he himself had overcome the final enemy, death. Who wouldn't have been uncomfortable in his presence? What do you say when you are a mere mortal face to face with the Son of God? So they cowered and they waited. Waited for what? They really didn't know. How do you deal with reports that your closest friend, the proclaimed Messiah, has been raised from the dead? How do you process that? On Friday, he was dead and buried. On Saturday, he was still dead. Then comes Sunday, and suddenly, he's alive. How do you cope with that? This is the most dramatic moment in all of human history. So they had locked themselves up. This is why the stories of Christ ring so true to me. Who could have made this stuff up? His disciples were acting like scared children. Most exciting week in all of human experience, and all they wanted to do was escape and hide and fade away into the woodwork. And so the story continues, and Wayne read it to you. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. In the midst of their fear and their confusion, Christ came to them. Even though the doors were locked, he came and stood among them. And what does Jesus say to them? Did he blame them? Was he angry? No, he stands amongst them and simply says, peace be with you. And something called hope stirred within them. It wasn't just the words, but the bodily presence of Jesus that changed these cowering disciples into the greatest evangelists the world has ever known. They faced, in the end, being jailed, being tortured, and eventual death because they were willing to preach of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an incredible change in their behavior. Christ passed through locked doors, and he comes to each of us, and he offers us peace. That is what he offered to those first disciples when he stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They're trembling in fear, and all Christ wants for them is peace. Now, usually we think of peace as the absence of something. If I were to ask you to define peace, you might say, well, it's the absence of war, or it's the absence of conflict. Someone might say also it's the absence of fear. But in Christ's dictionary, peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of somebody. Peace is the presence of Christ in a broken world. It is the assurance that he has overcome the world, and that because he has overcome it, we too can overcome it. A little girl named Mary understood that in a simple but very profound way, as children have. She was in bed one night preparing for lights out. Prayers had been said, and Mom hugged her. Then Mary asked her mother a question. Why didn't God make it daytime all the time? Why did he create nighttime? And her mother mumbled something about, well, it's really easier to sleep in the dark and we all need our rest. But Mary interrupted her saying, oh, I know why it gets dark at night. That's when God puts the world into his pocket. Out of the mouths of babes. What a beautiful thought. We don't have to be afraid. God has the world in his pocket. Christ is alive. He stands among us and he says, "Peace be with you." Apparently, the disciples understood the great gift they had received. They must have, or they would have remained behind those locked doors. And you and I would never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's now our turn to open our hearts to receive the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always. Amen.
God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought our Lord Jesus back from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Concludes our service for today. We'll certainly allow people this time for